Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning Five and Change. Great show for you today. We're going to wrap up the spring game and the commitments and all the good fun we had. Bill Kerlick and Mark Porter are here. Also, it is the spring window of the transfer portal. That's Transfer Portal Palooza. You'll see, if you're not a premium member to Bucknuts, you're going to want to be one. 60% off if you sign up today for that. Also, after you watch this show, you can flip on over to the 24/7 Sports YouTube page. We are treating Transfer Portal Palooza Day like National Signing Day. You can watch all day as 24/7 Sports is all over it. I will attempt to follow the transfer portal during the show to see if anything interesting takes place. Obviously, we know that Dallin Hayden is in the mix. And Carmelo English, the Michigan receiver, is already in there this morning. But some of that's known, some of that's not. We will get to it first. A word from our sponsor, Manscaped. Our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love, too. So join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and use code Bucknuts for 20% off and free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town. Introducing the lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, the 4.0 Pro, and the 5.0 Ultra. Boys need love too, and for this reason, each trimmer is equipped with skin-safe technology and LED spotlight and unique features for different grooming needs. Taking it on the go, Manscaped has you covered. These trimmers come with a travel case and even a travel lock feature to avoid accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport. This right here is on the cutting edge of cutting it up. Upgrade your ball trimmer and your life will follow. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped. All right. Now, talking about good-looking boys, we bring in some here. Bill Kerlick and Mark Porter. Gentlemen, hopefully we will not be breaking into this for some outlandish transfer. From Ohio State as we head for Transfer Portal Palooza and I refresh my transfer portal window deal. Nope, just Central Michigan All-MAC kick returner and multi-year starter at DB. The Javion Stepney just entered, but we don't want him. Bill! It was a great weekend, very productive. We talked more about the weather last week than we should have, and Mother Nature absolutely came through. It was a beautiful day, and it had some very nice results. Let's start with the commitments. Ohio State has worked on several guys and was able to get a commitment from them. Let's take it from the top and let us know what they got.
Well, absolutely no surprise, at least if you were paying attention on Bucknuts, no surprise that they got two commitments. It would have been a surprise if either one of those guys decided to go elsewhere. Obviously, I'm talking about Nate Roberts, the tight end from Oklahoma, who committed to Ohio State. His crystal ball was 100% Ohio State. And the only question had been with Nate Roberts, at least in my mind, was when exactly he would do it. But we did know that it was going to be on Saturday, and he did it at 10 o'clock, so a couple hours before the start of the spring game. He is all done. He's not taking any other official visits. It is over for Nate. It's always great when you get the number one prospect that you're recruiting at a certain position, and that is the case with Nate Roberts. He was Ohio State's number one guy at tight end, and you know, with him committing to Ohio State, the guy that was kind of the other top choice, the number two choice at that point, was Schott from Indiana, Brock Schott, and he has committed to Miami. So with that in mind, I don't know that this will be more than a one tight end recruiting class. In fact, I'd be surprised a little bit if it is. The way things are right now, you never know with the portal and all that, but they're in pretty good dark. Pretty very good shape, really, at tight end. The other commitment was Cody Haddad. That was also 100% in the crystal ball for Ohio State, although I think I was the only one of the 100%, so to speak. But, you know, there was a lot of confidence there, at least on my part, that once he decommitted from Wisconsin, he was going to be a Buckeye. And we've talked about him a lot. Very underrated guy, in my opinion, but mostly because he only played four games during his junior season. Talking to somebody yesterday at 247 Sports, we both agreed that he's going to get a bump as long as he stays healthy. He is going to get a decent-sized bump. He'll be a four-star guy, in my opinion, I'm sure, and well-deserved. He is a outstanding talent. He will hit you. He makes plays, four interceptions in four games against Cleveland St. Ignatius schedule that we know is a good schedule. So those two committed. And then when you look at the rest of the kids there, Ohio State really did well with a lot of kids that were in Ohio State Stadium on Saturday.
Before we get to them, Mark, you've reviewed both of these fellas. How about a quick thoughts on Roberts and Haddad?
Nate Roberts is a great balanced tight end. We talked about him being just as good run blocking as he is receiving. His highlight film has a lot of explosive receiver-like plays where he scored a ton of touchdowns in high school. He can really run. I mean, he's probably one of the better, when I say balanced tight ends, maybe leaning towards receiving skills. He can run pretty well and do some damage in the passing game, but don't worry if he has to line up in line and block a 7 technique or a 9 technique and reach him for the zone. He'll be fine. And then Cody, we talked about him where a lot of people run 4-4 and the whole world says, wow, that's a special elite trait. We got to get that trait. Cody's elite trait is sticking his head on ball carriers at 150 miles an hour and having no fear coming downhill in the running game. So when you watch his film, and I know Bill extrapolated his interceptions if he would have played 10 games, I'd like to extrapolate his big hits throughout a 10-game season. And his highlight film had dozens, it seems like, where there would be dozens more. He is going to be an excellent tackler. He's going to be excellent in the run game. And if you don't think that trait is very highly regarded, I think, yeah, I said this as a scout. I go, this type of player always shows up on a college field. I don't care if it's a Division III, MAC. If you have a nose for the ball and you're coming in like a submarine and taking guys out, you can play football and coaches will get you on the field. So, yeah, in my book, we got two. And, yeah, that rating for Cody, that's got to go up through the roof here sooner or later. It's a shame when you're playing catch-up on some of those ratings on a kid like this. But when I saw him at the end of the year, he put on a show in one half. I've said that before. When I only go see a half and I walk away going, wow, what a half that was, we know we got something.
there's always that kid on your football team that regardless of size, you start looking in the line when you're matching up, like, I do not want to go against that dude. And that's Haddad. You know what I mean? Wednesday afternoon, when it's cold out, week seven, when everyone's kind of half-assing it, that guy puts you on your butt. We need guys like that.
I'm already looking forward to Will Conroy is the other star at St. Ignatius, and he was at Ohio State on Saturday, offensive lineman. And already looking forward to Cody Haddad, Will Conroy, and the St. Ignatius team will be at my old stomping grounds this season. They play at Dublin Kaufman High School. That'll be a really good game. I thank them for deciding to play that game at Dublin Kaufman, where I used to teach and coach, and it was 15 minutes away, rather than me going to Cleveland St. Ignatius, which is 2 hours away. I'll get to see the guys close by, and that'll be a fun evening at Dublin Kaufman.
And we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but you did bring this up. Dublin Kaufman graduate J.C. Sheldon was the fifth overall pick in the draft last night. I believe Celeste Taylor was the 11th pick. I could have that wrong. She was, I think, the last pick of the first round or somewhere around that. That is very cool, man. Got a chance to watch her brother, AJ, her younger brother, play. I think he's at OU. And to be the fifth pick in the draft, good Lord, that's about the coolest thing that could ever happen to someone. So congratulations to the family. I know they're very involved with Kaufman Athletics. So big ups to Bill Kerlick High and its professional tradition of putting out fantastic people into the world. So we appreciate that. All right.
I have to add a story there. My wife last night asked me if you were I said I could have had her in class maybe. And she said, if you were still teaching, how many years would that have been? And I said, well, let me see. She was a senior 5 years ago. I would have been in my, I would have been in my 40th year of teaching and probably be in the funny farm by now. But that's a long time.
You mean this isn't the funny farm?
Yeah. Another farm. There are multiple comical farms that we're all associated with. All right, Bill. Not everybody who visited Ohio State over the weekend committed, which is shocking to me, but there were some tremendous, tremendous prospects there. I would like you to start with who I believe is the number one rated defensive player in the class of 2026. Give us a little background. You spent a lot of time covering it, and it looks like the staff spent a lot of time hanging out with him.
Yeah, that would be Jakeem, excuse me, Stewart, 2026 defensive end, defensive tackle, the entire line, if you want him to play that. He is the number one prospect in the class of 2026, and Ohio State absolutely hit it out of the park with him. He told me after the visit that it was the best visit he has been on so far in his recruitment. He's already talking about when he will be back, which he will be back. Just a tremendous visit. You know, people say Ohio State never gets guys from Louisiana. A couple things there. Number one, they have, in my time, gotten a few guys from Louisiana. They've signed several Louisiana guys during my time of doing this. And number two, they used to say Ohio State never got guys from Alabama. Well, we know that's changed now, too. With the NIL, it has changed things. You can get guys from anywhere, absolutely anywhere. And Ohio State is very much in the running for him. And one other thing I need to mention, too, is that Justin Fry takes a lot of criticism. We heard it this spring of why aren't they getting offensive linemen to visit? Well, if you look at it, on Saturday, they had some pretty good offense, very good offensive linemen in Ohio Stadium. They had Douglas Utu from Bishop Gorman High School. They had Alai Kalamvalu, who is a 2025 offensive lineman, also from Bishop Gorman High School, who I expect to make an official visit to Ohio State, was in Ohio Stadium Saturday. Javon McFadden, who they really like a lot from New Jersey, was in Ohio Stadium on Saturday. Mentioned Will Conroy was there. Max Riley, 2026, huge offensive tackle target from Ohio, was in Ohio Stadium on Saturday. Micah Smith made the trip up from Florida. Another very good offensive tackle they've offered a scholarship. So if you're going to criticize Justin Fry some for not getting offensive linemen to visit Ohio State, you got to give him praise for what he did this past weekend. He got some really good ones in Ohio Stadium on Saturday.
Our newest feature. And there's Jakeem Stewart. He's a little bigger than you might think. Just kidding.
I don't know. That might be that might be a life size. I mean, he is 6'6", 270 pounds. I don't think that was too much different than him in real life. Boy, I mean, you could see why, just looking at the body style, why he's the number one player. That long arms, the strength. I mean, he looks – oh, geez, I thought he was going to throw him over his back there. But he, these
the last two plays for those – yeah, the last two plays for those of you not playing at home on the video, he has picked up the ball carrier to stop the play. Go ahead.
Look how long he is and how fast. That looks like an Alonzo Spellman a little bit. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Long arms. Yeah. I mean, he was – that might have been the longest player of all time. But, boy, he's mimicking some of those qualities and this strength. And, I mean, does he look like a body that could fill out? I mean, he's probably got 30, 40, 50 pounds if you wanted to put it on there. Definitely.
Whoa.
A defensive end body, but he's playing defensive tackle. Comes off the ball, and when he hits people with those long arms, he's blowing up these linemen and just shucking them into the backfield. Yeah, this classifies under the creature type category, where I don't even know if he's human or a subspecies of human. This is a very impressive prospect.
It's above whatever sub is.
Yeah, first round talent type prospect with this type of body, and he's picking up another player. Boy, when you see players that have that nastiness where they're trying to, like, I don't want to say hurt somebody, but when you pick someone up and you're ready to throw them down, that's very unkind. There's a lot to like about that. As soon as Bill said number one prospect, I'm like, we got to put this guy on the screen.
Keep in mind, we just watched a sophomore. Think about that for a second. I don't know if I've ever seen a sophomore look like that. I'm not even kidding. I know we're prone to hyperbole here, and the last name is Nuts on the show, but give me a break with that guy. LSU is not letting that dude get out of Louisiana. Let's just be honest about this. It will take a national – you're going to have to bring in the National Guard to get that dude. Go ahead, Bill.
Might add, there are rumblings that you even mentioned he's a sophomore, and that would be class of 2026, of course. There are some rumblings that he could possibly reclassify. Mm. You know, I'm not predicting that, but I'm also not disregarding it.
I tell you what, you know, this podcast has made it when we're getting – I'm having to block so much. Those of you who are getting those of you that are getting like dates through here, I would run some more. I would want some research on that, man. I don't feel like that's a lot of truth in it. Okay, exactly, Doug. What the heck are they feeding that kid? I'll tell you what, a lot. And he's pretty thin, by the way. If you look at him, he doesn't even look like he's – I'm telling you, I'm trying to think of a guy I've seen that's looked that good.
Screams developmental upside. Just screams, get me in the weight room.
Good Lord. I got to read another ad. But keep in mind, it is transfer portal palooza today, and I just read this. Louisville is expected to lose 5 offensive linemen and 1 defensive lineman in the portal. Offensive lineman Lance Robinson, who was an 11-game starter at Houston. Offensive lineman Madden Sanker, their 9th highest-rated signee in history. Luke Burgess, Michael Gonzalez, their starting left guard. Another guy, Ruben Unije, and defensive lineman Tyler Barron, who was an 18-game starter at Tennessee. You're starting to see some guys are transferring second and third times.
What did that offensive line coach? What did that offensive line coach do to them? I mean, the next guy to leave would probably be him if I was the head coach. Like, whatever you did to 5 of our guys this spring to get them to leave, and they're good, boy.
I don't know how good they are, but we will see. Yeah. That's some impressive stuff. All right. This is an ad everyone will enjoy. Nothing says summer like the taste of a juicy, tender burger grilled to perfection, and nobody does burger perfection like Omaha Steaks. Right now, when you go to omahasteaks.com, you can order the limited time Burger Perfection Flight. You'll get 24 of their mouth-watering steak burgers, 4 each of their pure ground fillet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers, ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, sirloin burgers, and they're all new Porter House burgers, all for just $89.99 when you use my code BUCKNUTS at checkout. Each 6-ounce burger is filled with flavor, from the mild and tender Filet Mignon to the rich and buttery ribeye. The quality and deliciousness of these burgers could only come from Omaha Steaks and are guaranteed to satisfy. Go to omahasteaks.com and order the burger for Burger Perfection Flight today. And don't forget to use promo code BUCKNUTS at checkout to unlock this exclusive deal. That's 24 delicious steak burgers for $89.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code BUCKNUTS at checkout. Hurry, because supplies are limited. If I'm doing the math there, that is cheaper than burgers at McDonald's. By the way, family of five, drive-thru at McDonald's, it's like $40. Has anyone done that recently?
You know, I could go on a rampage about how fast food has tripled in price and the quality has decreased by half. We're to the point where I've kind of banned the fast food because my kid wants a couple burgers. I mean, I grew up on the Wendy's 99-cent value meal.
Exactly.
You could go get a couple junior bacon cheeseburgers, a fry, and a Coke for $4 and be stuffed. That ain't happening ever again.
The junior bacon cheeseburger at Wendy's was at one point in time, I think, the best value in the United States. It was like one of those things you find where it used to be the Pine Club burger at the Pine Club. It was $5 and it was chopped up steak and we would go get it. They figured it out. It's now like $19, but it was like a loophole. All right, I digress. And you're the guy. You're that guy. Just so you know, you're that guy, Larry. You fell for it. Come on, dog. I live near the Pine. I live equidistant between the Pine Club and the Oakwood Club. For a little town like Dayton, two independent steakhouses of national repute. So I'm fully aware of what a filet mignon tastes like. And teachers like us, the 99-cent Whopper. Shocker, it's hard to become a track star when you're eating a lot of Whoppers. But she pulled it off. I tell you what, though. McDonald's done right, and I often thought about this. There's a variance, and I have no idea why we're talking about this. There's a variance in drive-thrus, but a great McDonald's drive-thru is gold. When you know the fries are going to be hot, gold. Just the same. When it's not, it's terrible. All right, Bill. Now that we filled up on fast food and I'm hungry, let me know some of the other guys who were here because it was a star-studded affair. Not everybody's going to look like Jakeem Stewart, mind you, but let us have it.
Well, we talked about the offensive linemen, and I mentioned two Ohioans, Max Riley and Will Conroy. Max. Of course, Carter Lowe was there working on recruiting offensive linemen, Doug U2, and so on and so forth. And just about all of the current Ohio State commitments were there. They just about all made it. But what was really impressive was the group of guys from Georgia that made it to Ohio State over the weekend. You have Bryce Perry Wright, who is known down there at Buford High School as the Freak, and in a very positive way, I might add. You have Dorian Barney, a 2026 safety from Suwannee Peachtree Ridge, was there. You have Deuce Geralds was there, a defensive lineman that Ohio State likes, and he likes Ohio State a lot. So overall, it was really a good group of kids from Georgia. Those were the three highlighters, but there was others. Ant Davis, who landed an Ohio State scholarship offer. And I shouldn't mention offers. They offered another quarterback who was at Ohio State on Saturday, Brady Palmer from California, who right after the offer told me Ohio State is now his number one choice. Again, a 2026 quarterback, Luke Waffle. And I also should mention that over the weekend, they offered yet another running back. He wasn't in Ohio Stadium on Saturday. Anthony Rogers from Alabama, he also has been at Bradenton IMG. He is an Alabama commitment. He is a 2025 running back, and he is contemplating whether to visit Ohio State or not. I guess my gut feeling is he will. But, you know, you see a familiar theme here. that Carlos Lachlan is offering guys that he offered and had a relationship with at Oregon, you know, before he came to Ohio State. So he can add Anthony Rogers to the list of other guys, De'Aaron Hill, who he had already offered, Shakai Mills-Knight, who he had already offered it at Oregon. So they're lining up their options for 2025 running backs.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Those of you enjoying the show, and Ms. Sanchez can tell you that they were there this weekend too. She said they had a great time, met so many families. I will tell you this, when the defensive backs stand with each other, you can tell Devin Sanchez is a legit 6'1", 6'2", and they told the truth in the program there. That is one impressive-looking gentleman. All right, Bill. Those weren't the only guys there. The questions we're getting now are about – here's actually my question. I got screwed up for a sec there. Why so many running backs? Is this going to be a case – every day I look at the thing, he's offered another running back. How many offers do they have out to the 2025 guys? Eight? Is this just going to be?
I've got eight that they are in on, so to speak.
Okay, but they're not taking eight.
No.
So how is this going to happen? Is this going to be like?
Yeah, I could see
the Trey Henderson time when Donovan Jackson and Pryor jumped Donovan Jackson and or Donovan Edwards. Is it a case of first come, first serve? What's going on?
You look at the roster now with Dallin Hayden leaving, they need at least two running backs in this class. And I don't think three is out of the question, but they need at least two, really. So if you're going to get two or maybe three, you better have a number of options lined up. You know, they were going all in on Nate Roberts at tight end, and they got him. But that doesn't always happen. In fact, when you go all in, a lot of times it doesn't happen. So they're creating options for themselves. I still have as the two most likely guys to be in the class, Jordan Davison from California and Bo Jackson from Cleveland, of course. Those are the two most likely guys, but you still got to get guys lined up just in case. And if you want to go for a third, I think if I were going to say a third guy, maybe most likely I'd go for Shakai Mills-Knight. But I think all these guys are in the mix. And I also should go back real quick and mention, I didn't talk about one very important visitor this weekend yet, that being Brody Keefe from North Carolina. He's a 2026 wide receiver, and as Ohio State offered him long ago, and as somebody put it to me the other day, that kid is a stud. And if you saw Brian Hartline greet him on Saturday in Ohio Stadium, you know, with the big hug and all that, you could tell Brian Hartline agrees this kid is really good.
If Brian Hartline agrees, guess who else agrees, Bill? Me. Anything, virtually anything he says. Okay. Let's talk about quarterbacks. They had a bunch in there. We're going to finish the show with some great quarterback coverage you won't get anywhere else from the spring game. But, Bill, give me the quarterback stack right now. I do find it ironic today that we're about to find out Ryan Montgomery is going to commit to Georgia. So if you had told me a while back that Tavian Sinclair was coming to Ohio State and Ryan Montgomery coming to Georgia, that's not a bad showing for the state of Ohio, Mark Porter. Where are we at, Bill, with quarterbacks? Rank them for me. Who do they want the most? It seems like we're getting a potpourri of dudes here.
I don't think we're going to know who they want the most, really, until after this spring, because Chip Kelly's going to go out and watch all these guys. You know, he's seen them, but he's going to see them again. He's going to go out and watch these guys and see what he thinks. And I think when you get past after that evaluation period, contact period, when he goes out and goes to the high schools of all these guys, they'll get their rankings then. And they don't need to have them all ranked in order right now, because you look at them, none of them are ready to make a decision yet. So I think right now it's evaluation still. You got Brady. You know, when you go down the list, Will Griffin was the first of this of the group that got offered. And he was offered by Corey Dennis when Corey was here at Ohio State. All the other guys were offered by Chip Kelly. You got Brady Smigel. You got Dia Bell, Jonas Williams, Noah Grubb, Brody McWhorter, Troy Hune, and Brady Palmer, who Chip Kelly has offered all of those guys. And I think things will be much more clear after the spring. And some of them, by the way, are going to be back at Ohio State for the camp this summer. So they'll get even more time to evaluate them and come up with their order.
All right. We're going to go through some questions here, and then we are going to finish with a look at the quarterbacks from the game the other day. Let's see. Cedric Works, Bill, the latest.
Well, he did not make that visit to Ohio State that he was going to earlier this spring, and still on the radar, but still has not been offered a scholarship by Ohio State. So, you know, it's tough to move forward until you get a scholarship offer.
Fair. Logan asks, seems like Marquise Davis, the guy we've talked about plenty, speedster from Cleveland Heights, whose physical profile is such that had me researching NFL combines and coming up with names like Darren McFadden. Not good. Interest is fading. Hope not, because he would be a pain in our rump if he played for that team up north. Bill, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I've kind of talked about this, that it's been – they had to – for things to be moving forward, they had to get him on campus again. He has not met Carlos Lachlan in person, and he did not get on campus this spring. You know, right now, there's no doubt in my mind that his three most likely schools are Michigan, Tennessee, and Kentucky. And I don't necessarily put them in that order. Everybody's kind of thinking this kid is going to Michigan. And I would say hold off on that. He likes Kentucky a lot, and he likes Tennessee a lot, too. I think those three schools right now, you can almost put them in any order you want. I think they are the top three schools, and I think that he could end up at any of those top three. Now, will change things change? You know, I don't say that they can. I don't like to say never in recruiting, but it's going to take a big comeback if they are going to change.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That's something I guess we're going to talk about for a while. Let's get back to actual height versus listed heights. Dietra Miss Sanchez says, it's crazy people don't believe Devin is 6'2 until they actually see him. That's because those extra 2 inches, each one is worth about, and I'm not trying to blow smoke here, about $1 million. And everyone would say they were 6'2 corner because they want that money and they want the acclaim. That's just a fact. If you're a 6 foot corner, go watch the draft. 6 foot two corners that run sub 4.5, beach house, lake house, whichever your second house. And then another thing will make everyone feel good, Dietrich Sanchez, Tavian is huge. Tavian St. Clair is going to pass the eye test. If you're casting a movie and you need to put like the high school quarterback recruit in there, Hollywood should come calling for our guy. He is the real deal Holyfield in terms of look test. All right. People are starting to talk about their moms in here. That's a little weird. Okay. Let's go to our special video for the day. And what this is, let me pause this real quick. This is a look at the three quarterbacks that we expect to, let's just say the three quarterbacks appear to be at the top of the mix for Ohio State right now. Will Howard, Devin Brown, and the freshman Julian Sand. And Mark is going to show you a breakdown of each of them.
And his own special play here. The heavy lifting. Yes, I got control of the pause button here. You guys did a lot of the heavy lifting for this show. You know, we do this breakdown and we touch on a lot of different subjects. For the podcast, we're going to just touch on something that I could get through a little quicker. But as I watched all three quarterback goes, and, you know, you can read who the leader is by who goes first, who goes second, how many reps they get. You can look at their stats and try to break down who did good. But I tried to look at these guys on the top of their drop, and there were some quarterbacks that had maybe a tendency to scramble. Maybe have some of the guys miss some guys that are open. But I think at the top of the drop is where you can tell a lot about what's going on. So the first guy up is Will Howard, and he only had one of these decisions to make. And when he got to the top of his drop, everybody's covered. If you look at all these different squares here or circles, there's nowhere to throw the ball. So his only decision is to eat this ball and get out of there. But the problem here is Jack Sawyer is putting a great push right there, right into his face. So this is one of those things where you'd say this is a coverage sack. This isn't necessarily a Will Howard processing problem. Okay. Next guy up.
Dumped Hinsman on his butt. Not to interrupt you there.
Yeah.
Sawyer put Hinsman literally on his keister. He bounced. His butt bounced.
Yeah, I like having Dan and Bill here because we could really, as we do this throughout the season, we have a lot of different ways we could take these things. I was focusing on quarterbacks, but that was definitely an O-line problem as not a quarterback problem. Now, Devin Brown, to me, was a guy that seemed like he likes to pull it down a little quicker watching him in the past, and he likes to use his feet for good reason. He's pretty fast. So when you watch him at the top of his drop, you wonder, is there anybody there? Those two guys look like they're pretty covered up. But I also think here in a second, you're going to see a receiver at the top of the screen here. The guy right there in the yellow, that's where you're going to throw that in the hole or to the flats. He doesn't take either one, which, okay, those were a little cloudy, but you could see now he relies on his feet more than what he sees. Because that pitcher, I know a lot of guys that would have threw that in there. Same thing here. This one, he's justified. I'm going to freeze this here for a second. There's nowhere to go at the top of the drop. It looks like they're running all goes, which against the coverage yesterday, there was nothing there. They had a roof on everything. And if you remember last year's spring game, and I wanted to start with this, Brian Hartline was the new offensive coordinator. And I think I had a stat where we threw like 30 balls under 10 yards. There were no shots down the field because of the vanilla over the top coverage. And we got the same template out of this spring game. I think I counted two flag routes deep, one shot deep down the sidelines, a slant that went deep. But everything else was hitch, slant, swing pass, bubble pass, things under 10 yards. And that's a spring game, generic game plan. And it's really something that's meant to spread the ball around to a bunch of different receivers, get them all involved. Okay. So when you're going all goes, nothing there. I would say that Devin Brown here is justified in pulling this down and saying, you know what, I got to get out of here. There was nothing there. Probably would have been tackled for a zero-yard gain. Same thing here. We're going to watch Devin again. This is his third time. He has this bubble. That is no doubt. There's two receivers ready to block. His feet are set. He's cocked. This is the second time now we're seeing him where he's got a guy, and the decision isn't made to throw it, and he's just going to take this and run. And on a bubble here, you wonder why. Like, that's pretty much a short throw. But, again, here with his feet, he probably got as much as that bubble was going to get. Now we have Julian Sane in the game. And Julian took the most abuse I saw on the message boards after. I think he was starting to rise up where we thought he was going to come in and play perfect. Started off streaky with a bunch of completions. Had a stretch where he was a little, but here's what he did when he got to the top of his drop and had to make some decisions. Right here, they went all goes again. Nothing there for Julian. You know, roof's over the top. Everyone's got coverage. This is one of those ones where I'd say eat it and go get what you can get. So that's a good decision. Doing the same thing here. He's going to get to the top of the drop and we'll freeze it. Yeah, he has a guy right there. I mean, that's clear as day. That guy's going to either dig it up or hitch it up in there. If you have the anticipation, you should be throwing that. For some reason, he doesn't like it. Maybe he doesn't see it clearly. I mean, he's still there for a few steps, and this leads to a sack. So, you know, young guy in a game that I think he froze there. Again, they're going all goes here, okay? And, again, this all go play. They were trying to take some shots. If he's aware enough to say, okay, the goes aren't there, throw the swing pass, but there was an unblocked guy. We had an offensive lineman getting blown up there, and we could call him out if we wanted. Again, here at the top of the drop, everything's covered, but if he was aware enough, that swing pass backside, you've seen Tom Brady's and Peyton Manning's take one peek at a dead play, like what you're seeing with in the yellow circles there. Okay, it's dead. Now I got to get it out of my hand. I don't sit here and think very long after that. Some of these young quarterbacks don't quite have the awareness, and you'll see here he's going to roll up in the pocket and try to get out of this. Still could hit that swing pass. There was no one down there. So Julian may not have a total grasp of the offense yet, and I think that top of the drop thing is always very telling, because when you freeze it, when you're at the top of the drop, the play is designed. When that back foot hits, get the momentum going forward and get the ball out. So spring game, short routes, you know, I want to say this. Let's overanalyze and make a big deal about something where there's nothing to make a big deal about it. And that's what we do here at Bucknuts. We're going to dive into top of drop breakdowns.
Well, I mean, I love the spring game. It's fun to see everyone in their uniforms and stuff. But, like, I really don't think you can put a lot of stock into it. I know that people think Aaron Nolan played better than everyone else. He played really well, but he was not in there against the future first rounders, at least the ones in the coming draft that we have in the secondary. So a little bit of a challenge there. All right, Bill, where to for recruiting now? Map out the next couple weeks for us. Anyone on commitment alert? Who's visiting? What will the coaches be doing? Set our people up for the next few weeks.
One thing, real quick, go back what you said, Dan, about putting a lot of stock in the spring game. Mm-hmm. And I talked about this on Dave Biddle's podcast on Saturday. I liken it to spring training in baseball. Mm-hmm. Don't put too much stock in what guys do in spring training in baseball. It you will lose your stock, you know, if you do that. And the same thing in spring game. Don't put too much stock on what you saw during one single spring game. As you mentioned, Dan, guys aren't always playing against the best guys and so on and so forth. So that's
I'm glad we all agree with that.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. I enjoy it. You know what I mean? I like to see the new guys in their uniforms because I am an eye test expert. I don't know if you guys knew that, but it doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry.
I almost threw the Julian Sain interception in there to break it down. And as I was looking at it, I'm like, you know, like, why are we going to overanalyze a throw here where the receiver drifted away from the ball? He didn't necessarily snap back. You know, it's a route that I don't know if it was broken where it was supposed to be. I think he came straight down the line and he rounded it. It was kind of like a rounded out. So, you know, after the game, all I heard was Julian Sain didn't play so well. And I'm watching the tape. I'm like, that's a heck of an indictment off of a vanilla thing. So I'm glad you guys kind of echoed that. Yeah, we're here to be nuts. We're here to overanalyze, but let's realize that's what we're doing here. We're being a little nuts and overanalyzing. And if you look at, they gave Sain a little extra at the end there to maybe get him back on track. And he was 4-for-4 for 1 point after that and got his feet back underneath him. So should we look too much into that? You know, like, so breaking down quarterbacks, I think though, Will Howard did have the most solid day, if you ask me. I mean, he had a high completion percentage. I think he was 10 of 11 going into where they just took three shots in the end zone, and they were three incompletions. They weren't very well thrown. But other than that, he had command of the offense. Will that hold up? I don't know. But it looks like that's what they're going to go with is Will Howard.
I think you make a great point, Mark. They did not push the ball down the field. I don't think they ran one – you know, real downfield play where they expected to hit it. But I did see all three quarterbacks be able to throw an accurate ball outside the numbers on the sidelines. That's the hardest throw. Will Howard's throw that G. Scott caught early on, if he can roll to his left and get the ball on 3rd and 17 up the sideline like that, you're good. That's good enough. They can scheme up deep shots with these guys. That's not going to be an issue. So, like you said, spring game, not the completely revelatory experience. Bill, you will now tell us something revealing about the next few weeks in recruiting.
Well, as you mentioned, transfer portal open today. So we got the basketball and football portals open now. So it should be a lot of things to pay attention to. This week, you know, we talked a lot about player retention for Ohio State back in December and January and what a tremendous job the Ohio State staff did. Coaches are allowed to go out on the road now. It is the period where coaches can now also go out on the road. They can actually go to high schools and talk to 2025 kids, and they can evaluate, look at 2026 kids. But for this week, the Ohio State staff is looking more along the lines of player retention in the portal, who's staying and who's going. And looking at who is staying and going at other schools and getting their ducks in order in that regard, too. Right now, I think Ohio State, even with Dallin Hayden leaving, is still at 85, maybe 84 kids on scholarship. So unless kids go, there's no room to bring guys in. Now, having said that, nobody in this day and age keeps all their guys. There's going to be Ohio State players leaving. Dallin Hayden won't be the Lone Ranger. So that will be what the focus is on this week. Then Ohio State coaches will be out on the road after that. They'll be out of high schools. There are a couple more visits yet this spring. One of very much importance, that being DeCorian Moore, who we had on Bucknuts last week, would be able to visit Ohio State this past weekend, but would be visiting Ohio State, his mom told me, on April 27th, that weekend. That is a big visit. That's to keep not much in the way of visits, but that one is an important one. Ohio State will be lining up kids to make their official visits. They've already done a great job of that. If you look at the players making already scheduled to make official visits to Ohio State starting May 31st weekend, it's an impressive one. So that's on the agenda, getting other kids lined up to make and scheduled, locked in for their official visits at the end of May and into June. And then, of course, after that, become the camps starting in early June. So lots and lots of stuff going on right now, and we'll continue to go on.
We appreciate everybody stopping by. Let's be sure to follow Transfer Portal Palooza on YouTube. We did not go into detail on basketball portal stuff. They did sign Aaron Bradshaw out of Kentucky, who number one center and number four overall player in the class of 2023, didn't work out at Kentucky, and he will be at Ohio State. We'll go deep into that next time I am here, but we appreciate everybody stopping by. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it all up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.